नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as Knowledge of the Absolute or Vijnana Yoga. So I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. We saw that in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about predominantly what we call as Guni Bhuta Bhakti. So Gunibhuta Bhakti means where Bhakti is secondary, Karma, Jnana and Yoga are primary. So this is Gunibhuta Bhakti. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. And he in the sixth chapter, he ended by presenting that of the three, actually, Ashtanga Yoga is the is better. Tasmad Yogi Bhavarjuna, like that. But then in the last, very last verse of the sixth chapter, he introduces Bhakti Yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. So he introduces Bhakti Yoga, which is the introduction to the middle six chapters. In the middle six chapters, Krishna primarily talks about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti and Shuddha Bhakti. So Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means predominant Bhakti, where Bhakti is predominant, Karma, Jnana and Yoga are secondary. Okay. And he talks about also Shuddha Bhakti in various parts of the middle six chapters. So after describing the last verse Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam. So he, instead of directly calling it as bhakti yoga, he says he faithfully worships. So what is the nature of that faithful worship? He describes by starting with the first verse of seventh chapter. Maya saktamana partha yogam yundan madashrayaha asamshayam samagram mam yata gyasisi tachunu. So in this verse, Krishna says, he describes what this process of bhakti is. He says, Maya Sakta Mana. In this process, one's mind is fixed in Krishna. So if one's mind is fixed in Krishna, means Krishna is the goal. What it means is Anya Vilashita Shunyam. There is no other desire other than Krishna. Now, what does it mean? When you say that the mind is attached to Krishna, he clarifies it by telling Yogam Yunjan. Yogam Yunjan means with a desire to establish a relationship with Krishna. So with mind attached to Krishna means mind attached to Krishna as a lover, a son, a friend, a master, like that, in one of the five rasas. And what is the means to establish that relationship? Madashrayaha, surrendering to Krishna through the process of Navada Bhakti. So Madashrayaha indicates actually Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. So Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. Right. So which means by no other process other than Shuddha Bhakti and no surrender to any demigod, surrender purely to Krishna. Okay. And by this, yata gyasyasi, one can completely samagram mam gyasyasi. By this process, one can know Krishna in his complete form as Bhagavan. Okay. And in this way, he introduces Bhakti Yoga and establishes what is this Bhakti Yoga. And then, in the next verse, he says, Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshataha yadgyatva aneha bhuyon yadgyatavyam avashishyate. I will explain to you the knowledge of my powers and knowledge of my sweetness, which is essential knowledge to for bhakti actually. So I will describe to you knowledge of my power and knowledge of my sweetness, by knowing which nothing else remains to be known. And then he says, but it is very rare to find people who by accepting the path of bhakti have managed to know Krishna. Is vijnana and vijnana about Krishna. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschan mam veti tatvataha. It's very rare to find such people. Okay. Then, talking about Krishna's Aishwarya first, he talks about Krishna's material opulence. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme binna prakati rashpada. He talks about Krishna's material energy. And then he talks about Krishna's tatastha shakti, which is jiva. Apareyam itastvanyam prakatim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. So whatever was mentioned as the eight, that is the inferior energy, but there is an energy superior to this, which is jiva shakti. Yetad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastha. Whatever you see in this material world, it has its source in one or both of these energies. But understand that I am ultimately the origin and the dissolution of everything that you see, because both this parashakti and the aparashakti are my energies only. So therefore, if I say that, you know, everything that you see in this world has their source in this parashakti and aparashakti, ultimately it means they all have their source in me, because I am they both are my energies only. So I am the source of everything, I am the ultimate origin, and I am the ultimate dissolution also. Because as Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, everything comes and rests in me after dissolution. So now, and then he says, not only am I the source of creation and dissolution of everything, but I am also the source of maintenance. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mayi sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. He says, there is nothing superior to me. Everything is pervaded by me as pearls are strung on a thread. So this refers to Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, who as Paramatma is empowering everything to exhibit their nature or dharma. So even though the thread is invisible in a pearl necklace, but it is the thread which is holding all the pearls together in the form of a necklace. So similarly, it is Paramatma which is holding everything, even though the Paramatma himself is invisible. So therefore, he says, not only I am the source of creation and maintenance of everything, creation and destruction of everything, but I am the source of maintenance of everything also. Then he continues. He says, then the next series of verses, he describes that how Krishna is the source of everything and the essence of everything. Okay. So whatever you see in this world, Krishna is ultimately the source of that, and he is the essence of that. Okay. He describes that. So rasoham apsukaunteya prabhasmi sashishurya yoho pranavahas sarva vedesho shabdakye paurusham rushu. So in this series of verses, either, you know, for example, rasa or taste is the source of what? But prabha or the effulgence or light is the essence of sun and moon. So in the series of verses, he says, I am either the source or the essence. Punyoganda prativyamsha tejaschasmi vibhavasau jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidyaparta sanatanam buddhir buddhimatamasmi tejas tejasvinamaham. So I am the intelligence in the intelligent, I am the majesty in the majestic, which means he is the essence of all. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam ధర్మా విరుద్ధో భూతేషు కామోస్మి పరతర్షభ. అండ్ దెన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ నో, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు కోట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ బికాస్ దట్ మేక్స్ నో సెన్స్, యునో ప్రాక్టికలీ ఐ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు సమ్మరైజ్ ఇట్ నౌ. అండ్ ఈ సేస్ ఇన్ సమ్మరీ, ఏ చైవ సాత్వికాభావ రాజసాస్ తామసాశ్చయే మత్త ఏవేతి తాన్ విద్ది నత్వహం తేషు తేమయీ. అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ, అండర్స్టాండ్ ఓ అర్జున, దట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యు సీ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ విచ్ హ్యావ్ దర్ సోర్సెస్ ఇన్ సత్వ రజస్ ఆర్ తమస్, అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ మీ. I am not in them, but they are in me. Which means I am not dependent on them, but they are dependent on me. They are all my vibhutis, like that. So whatever you see, which has its source in sattva, rajas, or tamas, understand that I am the source of everything, because the three modes are my modes only. So I am beyond modes. I am beyond the influence of the modes. But the three modes are my modes only, you know. And then he says, it is because of these three modes, because of the influence of the three modes, that people cannot, even though I am the source of creation, maintenance and destruction of everything, but still people do not understand me as the supreme, because of the influence of the three modes. Tribir gunamayer bhaver ebis sarvam idam jagat మోహితం నాభిజానాతి మామేభ్య పరమవ్యయం. సో ఇన్ దిస్ కాంటెక్స్ వీ హ్యాడ్ అ వెరీ ఎలాబరేట్ డిస్కషన్ ఆన్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్, హౌ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ అఫెక్ట్ డిఫరెంట్ థింగ్స్, హౌ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ అఫెక్ట్ ది ప్యూర్ శాస్త్రిక్ ఫెయిత్, అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ అఫెక్ట్స్ ద ప్యూర్ శాస్త్రిక్ ఫెయిత్ దెన్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్, హౌ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ కెన్ అఫెక్ట్ ది స్వభావ, ది కండిషన్డ్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, and how that manifests, and how the three modes can also affect the experiential faith of the living entities, and how that manifests. We had a very elaborate discussion on this. And then in the next verse Krishna says that దైవీయేషా గుణమయీ మమ మాయా దురత్యయ మామేవయే ప్రపద్యంతే మాయామేతాం తరంతితే. హి సేస్ దట్ మై మాయా, విచ్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్, ఇస్ వెరీ హార్డ్ టు ఓవర్కమ్, బట్ మామేవయే ప్రపద్యంతే మాయామేతాం తరంతితే, బట్ దోస్ హూ సరెండర్ ఆన్ టు మీ అలోన్ కెన్ క్రాస్ ఓవర్ దిస్ మాయా. ఓకే, సో in this context we discussed very clearly that maya is not a nefarious ill intentioned energy which is acting for the to drown the living entity, which is acting for the for drowning this living entity eternally in this material world. No, that is not the purpose of maya. So maya's role is also to help the living entity only. So when the living entity when it has developed this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, then it needs the facility to actually enjoy separately from Krishna, otherwise the living entity will be suffering very much. So therefore Maya Devi provides that facility, and at the same time it gives efficient experiences by which the living entity, especially if he comes in touch with the Shastras and the Vaishnavas, he will get an impetus to get an impetus to surrender to Krishna. Okay, so that is the purpose of Maya Devi. Anyways, we had this elaborate discussion about how one can overcome the influence of మాయా ఓన్లీ బై సరెండరింగ్ టు కృష్ణ. దెన్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ ఎవ్రీవన్ వాంట్స్ టు ఓవర్కమ్ ది ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మాయా, అండ్ ఇఫ్ సరెండరింగ్ టు కృష్ణ ఇస్ ది ఓన్లీ వే ఆఫ్ ఓవర్కమింగ్ ది ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మాయా, దెన్ ఆల్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పీపుల్ షుడ్ సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ, కరెక్ట్? కృష్ణ సేస్ ఎస్, ఆల్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పీపుల్ సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ, బట్ వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పీపుల్? దోస్ హూ హ్యావ్ properly guided intelligence which is guided by the shastras, they surrender to Krishna. But there are others whose intelligence is not guided by shastras, they do not surrender to Krishna. So he says, namam duskritino mudah prapadyante naradama mayaya apahrita gyana asuram bhavam ashrita. So he says that who does not surrender to Krishna, he says duskritinah. Duskritinah means those whose intelligence, those who are falsely intelligent. Kritinah means intelligent people. Duskritinah means falsely intelligent. Those whose intelligence is not guided by shastras, they do not surrender to Krishna. Okay. And of these people, there are four kinds of people. మూఢ నరాధమ మాయయ అపహృత జ్ఞాన అండ్ ఆసురం భావమాశ్రిత. మూఢ మీన్స్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ అవుట్ అండ్ అవుట్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ మెటీరియల్ ప్లెజర్స్, దే డు నాట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ అబౌట్ స్పిరిచువల్ పాత్, యునో సచ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఫాల్స్లీ ఇంటెలిజెంట్. ద సెకండ్ కేటగిరీ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ నరాధమ. నరాధమస్ ఆర్ దోస్ who took up process of bhakti, practiced bhakti, but because of offenses eventually gave up the path of bhakti. Okay, so such people also do not surrender to Krishna. They are naradama, they are the worst of all people. The third are mayaya apahruta jnana. Mayaya apahruta jnana are the deluded theists who misunderstand the shastras and give improper understanding of the shastras and believe in it. So such people also do not surrender to Krishna. And the fourth are asuram bhavam ashrita, who are demoniac people, who are openly theistic people. They also do not surrender to Krishna. So these four kinds of people who are duskritinaha, those whose faith is not guided by shastras, they do not surrender to Krishna. On the other hand, who surrenders to Krishna? Chaturvidha bhajante mana sukritino arjuna arto jigyasur artarthi gyani cha bharatarshava. So who surrenders to Krishna? The sukritinaha. Sukritinaha means those who are properly intelligent, which means whose intelligence is guided by the shastras, they surrender to Krishna and they worship Krishna. Mam bhajante. And four types. Who are these four? Artaha, one who comes to Krishna to help him overcome his sufferings. And the second is Jigyasu, one who is the inquirer, one who is looking for some long-term solutions for his problems. And then there is Artharthi, one who wants some wealth. For the purpose of some wealth, he approaches Krishna. Okay. And the fourth is the Jnani. So the Jnani is actually the Jnana Mishra Bhakta, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So these four kinds of people surrender to Krishna. So they are the ones who are the followers of Varnashrama. So Sukritina means that the followers of Varnashrama, they worship me, which means those who do not worship Krishna are not actually followers of Varnashrama. So therefore, there is no demigod worshipping Brahmana, demigod worshipping Kshatriya and all that. In the strictest sense, they are out of Varnashrama. Right. So then, of the four kinds of people, ది ఆర్తో జిజ్ఞాసుర్ అండ్ అర్థార్థి దే ఆర్ కర్మ మిశ్ర భక్తాస్, వెరాస్ ద జ్ఞాని హూ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ అస్ జ్ఞాని ఇస్ ది జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త. సో నౌ ఆర్తో అర్థార్థి జిజ్ఞాసు దిస్ ఇస్ క్లియర్, బట్ హూ ఇస్ దిస్ జ్ఞాని? అకార్డింగ్ టు శ్రీల విశ్వనాథ్ చక్రవర్తి ఠాకూర్ హీ సేస్ దిస్ జ్ఞాని ఇస్ అ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త. సో హూ ఇస్ దిస్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త? హీ సేస్ దట్ దిస్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త, ఓకే, ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ ఇట్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ హిమ్. ది నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ హీ సేస్ దట్ తేషాం జ్ఞానీ నిత్యయుక్తా ఏకభక్తిర్ విశిష్యతే ప్రియో హి జ్ఞానినో అత్యర్థం అహం సచ మమ ప్రియ. హీ సేస్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఫోర్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ద జ్ఞాని హూ ఇస్ నిత్యయుక్త, హూ ఇస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ మీ, ఓకే, ఈస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ మీ, ఏకభక్తి హూ ఇస్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ఓన్లీ భక్తి, విశిష్యతే హీ ఈస్ ద బెస్ట్. ప్రియో హి జ్ఞానినో అత్యర్థం అహం సచ మమ ప్రియ, ఐఎమ్ చెరిష్డ్ బై దట్ జ్ఞాని అండ్ హీ ఈస్ చెరిష్డ్ బై మీ, లైక్ దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్. సో అమంగ్ దిస్ ఫోర్ టైప్స్ హూ ఇస్ ద బెస్ట్? హీ సేస్ జ్ఞాని ఇస్ ద బెస్ట్. సో జ్ఞాని మీన్స్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త. సో హీ సేస్ హీఈస్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ మీ నిత్యయుక్త. దిస్ మీన్స్ దాట్ బికాస్ హిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ బ్రాట్ అండర్ కంట్రోల్ బై ద ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన, హీ హ్యాస్ ఫుల్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్. బట్ ద అదర్ త్రీ, బికాస్ దే హ్యావ్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్, దే డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఫుల్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. అండ్ ఆల్సో హీ సేస్ దట్ దిస్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త, ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్ ఏకభక్తి. సో ఏకభక్తి హియర్ శ్రీల విశ్వనాథ చక్రవర్తి ఠాకూర్ మెన్షన్స్, ఏకభక్తి రెఫర్స్ టు ప్రిడామినెంట్ భక్తి. దర్ ఇస్ అ ప్రిడామినెన్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, బట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ శుద్ధ భక్తి. ఓకే, సో ఆర్ ఏకభక్తి కెన్ ఆల్సో మీన్ దట్ హీ హాస్ గ్రేట్ అటాచ్మెంట్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి అండ్ హీఈస్ అ జ్ఞాని ఇన్ నేమ్ ఓన్లీ. ఓకే, అండ్ ఐఎమ్ వెరీ డియర్ టు దట్ జ్ఞాని అండ్ ద జ్ఞాని ఈస్ వెరీ డియర్ టు మీ. ఓకే, లైక్ దట్. బట్ హీ సేస్ దెన్ వాట్ అబౌట్ ది అదర్ త్రీ, యూ డోంట్ లైక్ దెమ్? హీ సేస్ నో నో, ఉదారా సర్వైతే జ్ఞానీ తు ఆత్మైవ మే మతం, ఆస్తిత సహి యుక్తాత్మ మామేవానుత్తమాం గతిం. సో హీ సేస్ ఉదారా సర్వైతే, ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, ఆల్ దీస్ ఫోర్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ వెరీ వెరీ మెగ్నానిమస్ సోల్స్. ఓకే, బికాస్ బట్ ద జ్ఞాని ఈస్ మై సోల్, ఈస్ వెరీ డిఫర్, ఈస్ వెరీ డియర్ టు మీ, హీ ఈస్ యాజ్ గుడ్ యాజ్ మై సోల్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ ఫర్మ్లీ కన్విన్స్డ్ దట్ ఐ అలోన్ ఆమ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ గోల్. సో ఫార్ దిస్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త, వాట్ ఈస్ హీ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ భక్తి ఫార్? ఈస్ దిస్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త ఆస్పైరింగ్ ఫార్ ముక్తి? ద ఆన్సర్ ఇస్ నో. జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త వాంట్స్ ఎ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ, బట్ హీ డస్ నాట్ వాంట్ అ ఫుల్ ఫ్లెడ్జ్డ్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ కృష్ణ. హీ ఈస్ హ్యాపీ విత్ ఎ వెరీ పెరిఫెరల్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ కృష్ణ. దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ అటైన్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అ శాంతరతి. సో శాంతరతి మీన్స్ అ వెరీ పెరిఫెరల్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ కృష్ణ అట్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ భావ ఓన్లీ. Okay, so therefore he is not even a muktikami, he is not a bhuktikami also. So he does not want liberation, he does not material enjoyment, but at the same time he does not want a full-fledged relationship with Krishna also. He wants only a peripheral relationship with Krishna, and that's what he gets. And Krishna says, I am, that Jnani is equal to me, and I am, and the Jnani is non-different from me. Like that Krishna says. And in the purport, or this Jnana Mishra Bhakta, In the purport, Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur explains that there are many places in Bhagavatam and other such literatures where Krishna says, but a devotee is better than me. While a jnani is equal to me, he has mentioned that a pure devotee is better than me. So therefore, like that it is mentioned. Okay. Then he says, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mapadyate. Vasuva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlaba. But if this jnanamishra bhakta, the literal meaning of this verse is that this jnanamishra bhakta, after many many lifetimes, he takes up to pure devotional service and surrenders to me completely. Okay, that's the literal meaning. But many many lifetimes means what? Does it mean that a jnanamishra bhakta, after practicing jnanamishra bhakti for many many lifetimes, actually automatically becomes a shubhakta? No. So what it means is that a jnanamishra bhakta, if he comes in association with a pure devotee and accumulates the requisite sukriti, then he takes up to Shuddha Bhakti. Okay. And generally, accumulation of this requisite sukriti takes many lifetimes. But it does not mean that a person who by practicing Jnanamishra Bhakti for many, many lifetimes automatically becomes a Shuddha Bhakta. No, this is not what it means. Actually, it may happen that if he comes in touch with a pure devotee, if he already has sufficient sukriti, then in this lifetime only he may take up to practice of pure devotional service. So bahunam janmanam ante is irrespective. So one does not have to be a jnanamishra bhakta to take up to pure bhakti. One can, all that one needs is one has to be just a human being. But for anyone, it generally takes many lifetimes to accumulate the requisite sukriti for someone to take up the Shuddha Bhakti. So this Bahunam Janmanam Ante is not just for the Jnanavan, it is for anyone. Okay, that is the understanding. Then the question is, so it looks like whether someone has akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It looks like whether one has material desires or desire for liberation or desire to establish a relationship with Krishna, everyone becomes successful by surrendering to Krishna. Then why do people surrender to the devatas? Or what happens to those who surrender to the devatas for fulfillment of their material desires? So he says, kamais taistair hrudagyana prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyamam astaya prakritya niyata swaya. There are some people, the sukritina surrender to Krishna. Sukritina means those whose intelligence is guided by the shastras. But there are others whose intelligence is guided only by their experience. Such people have a faith which is called a swabhavajam shraddha. Faith which is guided purely by their own experience. Such people, under the control of that swabhava or swabhavajam shraddha, they worship the demigods, prapadyante anya devata, for fulfillment of their material desires. And they follow the various rules of that worship. Okay. So, then, how does Krishna reciprocate with them? Or what does Krishna do? Yo-yo yam-yam tanumbaktam shraddhayarchitam icchati tasya-tasya achalam shraddham tameva vidadamyaham. When Krishna sees that influenced by their own experience, when someone is inclined to worship some demigods, then Krishna makes that inclination into firm faith. You know, okay, you want to, you have an inclination to worship this demigod, then Krishna makes that inclination into very firm faith. Sataya shraddaya yukta tasya aradhanam ihate labate chatata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. And endowed with that faith given by Krishna, when they worship that demigod, then through that demigod, Krishna only fulfills all those desires all their desires, and make their faith in that demigod very strong. But antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavat yalpamedasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. But for these foolish people whose intelligence is not conducted by the Shastras and therefore worshipping the demigods, antavattu bhavati, the phalam or the fruits that they experience is only temporary. And those who worship the devatas attain the devatas, and those who worship Krishna, they attain Krishna. So we saw that there is three types of worship: improper worship, indirect worship, and direct worship. So improper worship means worshipping, proper worship means worshipping the demigods, considering them to be independent of Krishna. That is improper worship. Krishna says, tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidipurvakam. This is avidipurvakam worship. Then there is indirect worship of Krishna, which is Krishna says, jnana yajnena chapyanne yajanto mam upasate ekatvena pritakvena bahuda vishvato mukam. So he talks about this kind of indirect worship, where one worships the various demigods as the various limbs of the universe, of the Supreme Lord. Okay, this is indirect worship. And then there is direct worship of the form of Shyam Sundar Krishna or the form of Narayana, like that. So indirect worship gives temporary results, temporary material results, which is what is mentioned here. Antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasam. And indirect worship gives permanent result, but only liberation. Whereas direct worship of Krishna gives prema. Okay, like that. So therefore, devotees are encouraged to directly worship Krishna. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion. This is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, based on what we have summarized today or whatever we covered last week, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we can take right now. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu.
So, of course, last time we did have a long discussion on this, but just one question comes to my mind, that you described how in Varnashrama there is no demigod worship. Mm-hmm. But we see in Krishna book also that Rukmini was going to the Devi temple to perform puja. I mean, that was a time when Varnashrama was properly followed. So then why worship Lord Durga? Because that's not part of it. That's not part of the...
Okay. So one thing we have to understand is that no deviant philosophy has just come about now. Every kind of deviant practices have always been there. So, okay, Mother Rukmini went to the Devi temple. So we have to see what is the explanation of the Acharyas, why they went to Devi temple. The very fact that Krishna is speaking about demigod worship, it means that the demigod worship existed. That's why he is talking about it. So it's not that something, so anything deviant, it's not necessary that it came about just now. So all kinds of deviant philosophies have always been existing, including in Satya Yuga. In all kinds of deviant practices, deviant philosophies have always been there. Just that, you know, it is just shaded in a different way, that's all. But otherwise, all these demigod worships and impersonalism and polytheism and pantheism, all these various kinds of philosophies have always been there. It is not that only in today's day and age some new people in Kali Yuga have only introduced them. That is why these philosophies have been discussed by Krishna in detail, because they were already existing at that time. So, and that is why Krishna is talking about it. So why did Mother Rukmini follow? Maybe it was just some family practice, because they were not pure worshippers of Vishnu. Probably that could be a reason. So it is not necessary that, and to think that, oh, at that time, Varnashram was perfectly followed. That also is actually not, it is not a proper understanding. So you may say that certain kinds of, you know, the cultural aspects were very strong during that time. But even though from an external point of view, you may see that, you know, the cultural aspects are very strong, but then the inherent philosophical understanding could be quite deviant. So such practices were there. That is why Krishna is addressing all these things here. So the very fact that Krishna is talking about Dushkritinas, the four kinds of Dushkritinas, Muda, Naradama, Maya Aparita Jnana, and Asuram Bhava Mashrita, and the very fact that he is elaborately discussing in so many verses about demigod worshippers, which means they were all there and they were always there. They sort of hid very nicely and seamlessly in the kind of Vedic fold. It looked like, you know, they were all part of the Varnashram. But in reality, so of course, we say like that, you know, this is our understanding, that in the strictest sense, they are not, they cannot be considered as part of Varnashram, because Varnashram followers means they have to be worshipping Vishnu. Varnashrama acharavata purushena parappuman, Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tattosha karanam. So wherever Varnashram is described, Vishnu worship is described. Ata pumbir dujashtreshta Varnashrama vibhagashah, swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. The ultimate essence of Varnashram is giving pleasure to Lord Hari. If there is no worship of Lord Hari, then it is, in the strictest sense, it is not called as Varnashram, even though we don't go outside and say that, oh, you worship Lord Shiva or you worship Lord Ganapati, oh, you are not a Brahmana. We don't say like that. But this is our understanding.
Okay. Okay. Just my clarification, that's all. Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay, there is something in the chat box. What is the difference between Jnana Mishra devotee referred to here and a pure devotee? Only a pure devotee wants a full-fledged relationship with Krishna. Yeah. the difference between the Gyana Mishra devotee here and the pure devotee is that for the Gyana Mishra devotee, there are many shades of Gyana Mishra bhakti, but in this particular verse, because it is mentioned, Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate, so therefore this Gyana Mishra bhakta, he practices Navada bhakti only, but there is an influence of his past practice of Jnana, because of which he is reluctant to have a full-fledged relationship with Krishna. Okay. So therefore he is happy with Shantarati, whereas a pure devotee practicing pure devotional service with no influence of past Jnana in his practice, he wants to have a full-fledged relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas, preferably in four of the higher rasas, starting with Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, like that. Okay, if there are no further discussion points, comments or questions, we will now move on to the next verse of the seventh chapter. Okay. So, here, Krishna continues. He has spoken about demigod worshippers. So now, he spoke about those who surrender to Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jigyasur artharti jnani cha bharata rishabha. And then four types, and then he glorifies the jnani, and then finally he says, if for a sakama bhakta also his desires are fulfilled, if his desires are fulfilled by surrendering to Krishna, if a nishkama bhakta's desires are also fulfilled by surrendering to Krishna, then why do people surrender to the demigods? That also he describes. And what is their destination? What do they get in return? All of that is described. So now, the demigod worshippers are not the only disillusioned people. There are other types of disillusioned people also. Who are they? He says, avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante mam abuddayah param bhavam ajananto mama vyayam anuttamam. Abuddayah, the unintelligent people, manyante, they think, avyaktam, that the impersonal Brahman, mam vyaktim apannam, has manifested an illusory form as myself. So here he is talking about Mayavadis. So one should not say, oh, what is this Krishna? How come Krishna is talking about Mayavadis? Because Shankaracharya had not yet come. Well, Shankaracharya did not introduce Mayavad. He just popularized it, that's all. But all these kinds of deviant philosophies were always there. And it is not that Charvak introduced the Charvak philosophy. Ranam Kritva Gritam Pibet Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet. These kinds of deviant philosophies have always been there. So just like, you know, some acharyas come, like just like Sri Vaishnava philosophy. It's not that Ramanujacharya introduced Sri Vaishnava philosophy. Sri Vaishnava philosophy has always been there. He came and popularized it, that's all. So similarly, these deviant philosophies also, they have their own deviant philosophy acharyas who come time and again and popularize them, that's all. Otherwise, the philosophies have always been there. So Mayavadis, where were they? Because Shankaracharya had not yet manifested. So what? But Shankaracharya was not there, but Mayavad philosophy was always there. So, abuddhayah, these unintelligent people, again, unintelligent means their intelligence has not been shaped by the proper understanding of Shastras. So these are more like mayaya apahrita jnana. Okay, these kind of people. So these abuddhayaha manyante avyaktam, that the impersonal Brahman mam vyakti mapannam has manifested an illusory form as myself. So they think that Krishna's form is illusory. Okay. Mama param bhavam ajanantaha. They do not know my transcendental nature consisting of form, qualities and activities. Param bhavam. So they think that this is maya bhavam. This is illusory. So the form manifested is illusory. The qualities seen are illusory. The activities are illusory. They think like that. But the real nature is, actually it is parambhavam. Parambhavam means transcendental. The form is transcendental. The qualities are transcendental. The activities are transcendental. And avyayam anuttamam. This form is eternal and anuttamam, most excellent. But they do not know it. Due to this improper understanding of the Shastras, due to a deviant understanding of the Shastras, they conclude that the impersonal Brahman is the absolute truth. And when the impersonal Brahman accepts an illusory form and descends, that is the avatar, like Krishna, Rama, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, etc. So this is Mayavad. So here, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, what to speak of the worshippers of the Devata being foolish and not recognizing me? Even those who study all the scriptures such as the Vedas do not know the truth about me. So these are the Mayapavirta Jnanas. Lord Brahma has said to me, this is in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, Atapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasada lesha ita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinman. So Brahmaji says, my lord, O Deva, if one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, te padambuja dvaya prasada lesha anugrihita evahi. If one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. Janati tattvam. Janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Na cha anya, not others. Nachanya ekopi chiram vichinman. Chiram vichinman. Even though they may be studying the Vedas and searching for Krishna, for understanding Krishna, from such deviant study of the Vedas, they will never understand. Ultimately, only those who receive the trace of mercy of Krishna through the agency of, predominantly through the agency of the Vaishnavas, only they can understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. Otherwise, these people are Dushkritina. Those who say intelligence, those who are intelligent but falsely intelligent. Okay. Thus, apart from my devotees, everyone else is foolish regarding knowledge of me. You see here very clear. They are foolish regarding knowledge of me. With this intention, he speaks this verse. The unintelligent think that the formless Brahman beyond the material world has taken birth as myself in the house of Vasudev with an illusory form. What is now visible is such an illusory form. That's how they think. This is because they do not know my transcendental state. Parambhava majanantaha. They do not know that my form, birth, activities and pastimes are beyond maya. Mama parambhavam. They don't know that it is. Because they don't know of any existence of any form, name, qualities, etc., which is beyond matter. They think any form is material, any activity is material, any quality is material. So therefore, Krishna's form is material, Krishna's qualities are material, and all that. So what type of state is this? He says, this is avyayam, eternal, and anuttamam, most excellent. According to Medini, bhava means existence, nature, intention, endeavor, self, birth, action, pastime, and meaning of a word. Okay. So these are the various meanings of the word bhava. So param bhava majanantaha. So bhava means pastime, bhava means action, bhava means birth, bhava means self, bhava means nature, bhava means existence. So all of this in connection with Krishna is param, transcendental, param bhavam ajanantaha. They don't know the transcendental nature of Krishna's existence, nature, self, birth, action, and pastime. Okay. Sri Rupa Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita has described this eternal nature of the Lord. So he says, the Lord's form, qualities, birth, actions, and pastimes are eternal since they have no beginning and no end. They are continuously going on. They have no beginning and no end. Sridhar Swami has also said, bhavam means form and avyayam means eternal, which means it is an eternal form. It is a pure form of sattva endowed with great power. Of course, here sattva refers to shuddha sattva, not material sattva. Like that. So he talks about the demigod worshippers, who are one type of foolish people who do not surrender to Krishna. Another type of foolish people are these kind of maya apahrita jnana, who are deluded theists, who also do not surrender to Krishna. And such people consider that the form, when the real absolute truth is impersonal Brahman, and when that impersonal Brahman comes as Krishna and other such forms, those forms are material and and illusory. That's how they think. Okay, so this is about Mayavad. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. So, then Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudoyam nabijanati loko mam ajamavyayam. So, question arises, because in the previous verse he said, mama parambhava majananto mama bhuta parambhava majananto mamavyayam anuttamam. So I have eternal form, qualities, etc. So then the question arises, if you have eternal form, pastimes, etc., then why don't we see you eternally? This question arises. Okay. Why don't we see you eternally, or at least at all times? Why don't we see you? This question arises. So Krishna says, Yoga Maya Samavritaha. Being covered by my yoga maya, na aham sarvasya prakashaha, I am not visible at all times, even to my devotees in my spiritual abodes. Even to my devotees in spiritual abodes, I am covered by my yoga maya. Okay. This is the explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In the spiritual abodes also, even the perfected devotees do not always see me because I am covered by my yoga maya. Ayam mudaha lokaha, and the foolish na abhijanati, do not understand that mam ajam avyayam, that I, even though appearing as the son of Vasudev, I am without birth and certainly have no material birth. So even though I appear as the son of Vasudev, the foolish people do not know that I have no material, that I am without birth, ajam, and avyayam, and I do not have a material body which deteriorates. I don't have a material birth and a material body. So here, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says that if you have an eternal form, qualities and pastimes, then why do we not see these things at all times? So he says, I am not manifest to all people living at all times and places. I am always present with my associates, qualities and pastimes in some universe at some time. But just as the sun is not visible to all people at all times, but only sometimes, since it gets covered by Mount Meru, I also am not visible at all times, being covered by Yoga Maya. Okay. So even in this material world, even in Vrindavan, even currently, Krishna's pastimes are happening. So there is Prakat Leela and there is Aprakata Leela. So in Prakat Leela is when Krishna appeared here, and for 125 years he was here on this planet Earth and he performed his pastimes. That is Prakat Leela. When he was there, everyone could see him. But after those 125 years, even now, those pastimes are happening eternally in a realm which is invisible to us. Aprakat Leela. And only qualified people can see. But even those qualified people cannot see at all times. Because for those qualified people, sometimes Yoga Maya covers them also, and they cannot see. Okay. And not only that, even in this Prakat Leela is eternal. How? Because as soon as the pastimes end in one universe, then the pastime starts in the next universe, and then the next universe, and in the next universe, and in the next universe, like that. Till the next day of Brahma, it again manifests in this universe. Right? Like that. So he says, I am always present with my associates, qualities and pastimes in some universe at some time. But just as the sun is not visible to all people at all times, but only sometimes. But sun is in one sense like eternal, right? Even though sun disappears from our vision. But that does not mean the sun's existence only is gone. It only disappears from our vision. Okay. So even though the sun is situated within the zodiac and is always present, always present there for all living beings, it is not visible to all people at all times and places. Similarly, I am not visible to all people at all times in the various sections of Bharata. But as the sun is always visible in its own abode, why is Krishna not always visible to all people presently dwelling in his abode, such as Mathura and Dwaraka? This question arises. Okay. Sun may not be visible. Sun may not be visible at various places in this universe. But in the sun planet, everyone should be experiencing sun, right? The sunlight and everything, right? So you may say that in other places of this world, Krishna is not seen. But at least in Dwaraka, Mathura, Vrindavan, he should be always seen, right? So he says, that why they don't see, why Krishna is not always visible to all people presently dwelling in his abode such as Mathura and Dwaraka. Okay, the question is, the answer is, since Meru is present in the middle of the zodiac, then the sun, when covered, is not visible. In the same way, within Krishna's effulgent abodes, Yogamaya is always present like Meru. So sometimes she covers. Even her perfected devotees, they cannot see Krishna all the time. Sometimes, Yogamaya covers them. So Krishna, like the sun covered by that Meru in the form of Yogamaya, is not visible constantly, but only sometimes. This is all without fault. Okay. So this is about perfected devotees. As well, the foolish people do not understand that I, in my form as Shyam Sundar, even though appearing as Vasudev's son, am free from material birth. So, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this first line, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita, refers to his perfected devotees, vision of Krishna being occasionally covered by Yogamaya. Okay. And the next line is talking about foolish people covered by the Mahamaya. Okay, Mayaya Apahrita Jnana. So that is Mahamaya. Okay. So there are two categories of people according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur who are being described in this particular verse. The first line, which is Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita, refers to the perfected devotee's vision of Krishna being occasionally covered by Yogamaya, just like Mount Meru covers, So according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says that in the Jambudvip, there is Mount Meru, which is standing here. Okay. And when the sun is present here, people here, even though the sun is there, but because Mount Meru comes in the line of sight of this person to the sun, therefore sun is not visible to this personality. But so here he says, in the pastimes of Krishna, even in the abode of Krishna, even the perfected devotees do not always see Krishna because, Yogamaya potency, like the Meru Parvat, it hides the form of the Lord sometimes from their vision. So therefore, even though, if for example, if you see in the case of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was a perfected devotee. Okay. And two-handed Krishna was always standing there. And when this two-handed Krishna manifested the universal form, Arjuna was still bewildered. Arjuna said, "Oh Krishna, please show me the two-handed Saumya Rupa." But in reality, the two-handed Saumya Rupa was standing right next to him. But he could not see. Why? The Meru Parvat of Yogamaya covered that form. And then when Yogamaya removed its veil, then Arjuna could see the two-handed form of Krishna standing right next to him. So according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the first line describes the perfected devotee's vision of Krishna being occasionally covered by yoga maya. Okay. Like that. So he says, I am always present with my associates, qualities and pastimes in some universe at some times, but just as the sun is not visible to all people at all times, but only sometimes, since it gets covered by Mount Meru, I also am not visible at all times being covered by Yoga Maya. Even though the sun is situated within the zodiac and is always present there for all living beings, it is not visible to all people at all times and places. Similarly, I am not visible to all people at all times in the various sections of Bharata. But then the question arises, okay, for other people it is fine, but at least in your own abode of Mathura and Dwaraka, you must be visible. He says, yes, but since Meru is present in the middle of the zodiac, then the sun when covered is not visible. In the same way, within Krishna's effulgent abodes, Yoga Maya is always present like Meru. Krishna, like the sun covered by that Meru in the form of Yoga Maya, is not visible constantly but only sometimes. So therefore, there is no fault. So this is the explanation of the first two lines. Now, the next two lines. As well, the foolish people do not understand that I, in my form as Shyama Sundar, even though appearing as Vasudeva's son, am free from material birth. Thus, finally rejecting me, the ocean of auspicious qualities, they worship my impersonal aspect, Brahman. Like that. So this is Mudoyam Nabi Janati Lokomam Ajamavyayam. So they think that how can the absolute truth take birth and have a material body? As if birth means only material birth, body means only material body. So this is Mudah, foolish people. This is the explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion further. Then Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. He says, Veda aham, I know. Samatitani vartamanani cha, I know all things in the past and present, O Arjuna. Bhavishyani cha bhutani, and I know everything in the future as well. Mam tu vedana kaschana, but no one knows me. I know everything in the past, present and future, but no one knows me. So he says, but my own knowledge is not covered by external maya or the internal yoga maya, since I cannot be bewildered by that to which I give shelter. He says, my devotees can be bewildered by my yoga maya. Their knowledge of me can be covered by yoga maya. And the ordinary people of this world, the conditioned people of this world, their knowledge of me can be covered by Mahamaya. But I cannot be bewildered by either of these maya because I give shelter to both. But sometimes Krishna allows himself to be covered by yoga maya, you know, in the spiritual world. So he says, I know everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani. But no one, whether material or spiritual, nor even Shiva or the most omniscient person, knows me completely, since knowledge of me is covered by either Maya or Yoga Maya according to the qualification of the person. Mam tu Vedana Kaschana. No one knows me completely because I am covered either by Yoga Maya or Mahamaya depending on the person's qualification. Like that. Okay. There is a question in the chat box. We usually understand Mahamaya to cover foolish people and Yoga Maya applies to saintly persons. Is it oversimplistic? No, this is correct. This is perfectly correct. So, saintly persons here refers to those who are perfected devotees who are ready to participate in the pastimes of Krishna. So, Yoga Maya's role is to assist Krishna's pastimes. So, which means it acts only on those people who are ready to participate in Krishna's pastimes. And Mahamaya covers only the conditioned souls. Like that. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
When we speak,
Prabhu, your internet is poor. We are not able to hear you properly. Can you come to a place where you...
Now are you able to hear me?
This is better. This is better. Oh, no. No, no. It's again breaking.
Okay. Now are you able to hear me?
Slightly better, Prabhu. Can you continue speaking? Okay, I think we lost them. I think they will rejoin back. Okay, let's. Yes, Prabhu. Please unmute yourself to Shyamlal Prabhu. You can unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Prabhu.
So, in Krishna Leela, we see so many great devotees are bewildered. Mm-hmm. Brahma Vimohan Leela, we see.
Yeah.
We see how even Lord Shiva gets bewildered by Mohini Murthy. Indra is also bewildered. So, this is all Yoga Maya potency, right?
Well, Brahmaji getting bewildered is Yoga Maya. In Brahma Vimohan Leela. Actually, Brahmaji running after his daughter Vak, that was under Mahamaya only. Before, the Acharyas explained, that happened before he was instructed in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam by the Supreme Lord. So after he got instructed in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam by the Supreme Lord, by the practice of bhakti, he became a pure devotee. And then he was not affected by the Mahamaya. So therefore, if Brahma Vimohan Leela is clearly described to be a bewilderment caused due to Yoga Maya, and Lord Shiva's bewilderment seeing Mohini Murthy is very clearly an act induced by Yoga Maya. But Indra being a mixed devotee, his bewilderment in episodes like his fighting with Krishna due to the Parijata flower, Parijata tree episode, or his fighting with Krishna during the Govardhan Leela episode, they are all impelled by Mahamaya only, or due to the covering of Mahamaya, and that is not due to Yoga Maya, because Yoga Maya acts only on perfected devotees and not mixed devotees.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Okay. There are some questions in the chat box also. Covering by Yogamaya means creating different situations and not covering the intelligence as mentioned in one of the class. Yeah. Yeah. Creating particular external situations, that is the situation of, that is what Yogamaya does actually. Yeah. Okay. Kalanidhi Prabhu asks, but 7.25 seems to relate Yogamaya with foolish persons also. Yes, different acharyas explain different verses in slightly different ways. Okay, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, because this what we are discussing now is the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So according to his explanation, the first two lines, Naham Prakash Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata, is talking about Yogamaya covering perfected devotees, and Mudoyam Nabijanati Lokoma Majamavyayam refers to Mahamaya covering the conditioned souls of this world. So there are two people described here, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. But Srila Baldevidya Bhushan and Srila Prabhupada give slightly different explanation to this verse. But since we are in this series discussing Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation to this verse actually talks about two categories of people. The first, Yogamaya covering the covering the pure devotees' vision of Krishna, and this, and Mahamaya covering the conditioned souls' vision of Krishna. Like that. Is that okay, Prabhu? Yeah. Okay. Let's continue our discussion. There is another question. So we can say that Arjuna is participating in the pastime of Krishna every time he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And how is it possible if one knows the transcendental position of Krishna, he will not take birth again? Arjuna gets chance to hear Bhagavad Gita every time. Oh, so see, birth means, okay, so then I will ask a question. If anyone who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna will not take birth again, how is it that Arjuna took birth? Now my question is, how is it that Krishna took birth again? Would you like to answer this question, Mataji? How is it that Krishna took birth again? If one understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, no one, no one will take birth again. How is it that Krishna took birth again? Krishna is what, Mataji? What is AJMA? Ajanma, or what does it mean? I think it's a spelling mistake. Can you please write it again? Ajanma. Similarly, his perfected devotees are also Ajanma only. Arjuna has no material birth. Arjuna's body is also eternal. Arjuna, even though it is seen like he is taking birth from Pandu and Kunti Maharani, it is just like Krishna taking birth from Vasudeva and Devaki. It just looks like an ordinary material birth, but it is not an ordinary material birth. Arjuna's body is eternal body. So Arjuna taking birth means it is not a birth which is induced by karma. And it is not a material birth, and it is not a material body at all. So he just comes to assist Krishna's pastime and participate in Krishna's pastimes. So otherwise he is not forced to appear due to his karma, just like normal conditioned souls. Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, okay. Let us continue. So then Krishna says, Iccha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Oh, there is another question. Srila Prabhupada also appeared, right? Yes, he also appeared. He did not take birth like an ordinary person. Okay. Yeah. So, then the question arises. In the previous verse, he said that Mam tu Vedana Kaschana, and in the verse before that, he says that Mudoyam Nabi Janati Loko Mam Ajamavyayam. You know, the foolish people are covered by Maya. Then the question arises, when do the jivas become bewildered by your Maya? When do the jivas become bewildered by your Maya? This question arises. Sarge, since the beginning of creation, Sarva Bhutani, all the living entities, Sammoham Yanti, they have been intensely bewildered. Dvandva Mohena, by the ignorance caused by duality. Where is that ignorance caused by duality coming from? Icha Dvesha Samuttena, arising from likes and dislikes. So, what is the beginning? The beginning is Ishad Apetasya. A living entity chose to turn his face away from Krishna. Then what happens? Tan Maya Yato. Maya Devi catches hold of him. Okay. And how? Through the two agencies of Viparyaya and Asmritihi. Asmritihi means it makes him forget his constitutional position as the soul and a servant of Krishna. And Viparyaya means it gives alternative identification with the gross and subtle body. And with this Asmriti and Viparyaya, with this alternative identification, what comes is Dvandva Mohena, enjoyment, suffering, etc. And where is this enjoyment, suffering coming from? Iccha dvesha samuttena, likes and dislikes. Whatever I like, I enjoy it. Whatever I dislike, I suffer. Okay. So, sammoham yanti means intense bewilderment. You know, whatever I enjoy, I want to keep enjoying it all the time. And I'm completely absorbed and I'm thinking, how can I keep enjoying it again and again and again more? And suffering means, how can I avoid suffering? Intense absorption in the emotions of fear, anxiety, when it comes to suffering, you know, like that. So he says, when do the jivas become bewildered by your Maya? At the beginning of creation of this universe, Sarge, all the jivas become bewildered. How? Desire for objects favorable to the senses and hatred for things which obstruct the pleasure of the senses arising from previous actions give rise to illusion of duality, of respect and disrespect, hot and cold, happiness and distress, woman and man, etc. Okay. So, right from the beginning of creation, so then, what happened before the creation? Before this, Before this, the jiva was inside the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu in a sleeping state. In a sleeping state. So he was not conscious. Okay, what happened before that? Before that was before the previous creation. At that time, the living entity was in intense bewilderment. What happened before that? Before that, the jiva got released into the universe during the time of creation. Sarge, beginning of creation. And at the beginning of creation, he became intensely bewildered by the ignorance caused by duality arising from likes and dislikes. Okay. Before that creation, what happened? He was inside the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. No. Before that, it was previous creation. He was again intensely bewildered by the ignorance caused by duality. Before that, it was beginning of creation. And before that, he was again inside the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. That is reality. Okay. So a person thinks, I am happy being respected. I am sad being disrespected. This is my wife. This is my husband. This duality gives rise to complete ignorance, moha. That in turn gives rise to complete bewilderment, sammoha, extreme attachment to wives and sons. So those who are extremely attached are not qualified for devotion to me. So this extreme attachment gives rise to distraction from Krishna. Extreme attachment to things of this world, people of this world, relationships of this world, it distracts one from Krishna. So therefore, those who are extremely attached are not qualified for bhakti. So now, this looks like there is a material disqualification for bhakti. It looks like extremely attached people are not qualified for bhakti. So let us evaluate this next Friday and try to understand what exactly this means. So at this point, we will pause. Any quick comments, questions before we wind up for the day? Okay, so if there is none, then we will pause here and continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Jai Krishna, thank you.